Whoa.
The industry's here.
Exactly.
And you can use either the mouse or the up and down.
Okay, great. So thank you all for being here today. Before I get started, I just wanted to acknowledge my former co-workers and my current collaborators, Dan Steves and Jennifer Heatley, who are both in Nova Scotia. And that is where I worked prior to my studies, currently at Johns Hopkins. And so prior to my studies, I lived and worked in Nova Scotia on Nova Scotia's alcohol policy, and I did a lot of advocacy and a lot of work with communities. And we looked a lot at how the alcohol industry really targets our youth, and we looked at how we could all work together to help move alcohol policy and move into action. I have no relationships to disclose. So I like to start a lot of my presentations with this image, and this is a real picture of a real shopping mall. It's one of the biggest Toys R Us stores in Nova Scotia, and for those of you who don't know, Nova Scotia is in Canada, and it's on the East Coast. It's a smaller province, and I lived there for about 7 years before coming to Baltimore. And so this is one of the biggest Toys R Us locations in Nova Scotia. And just below that sign is the NSLC, which is the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation. And again, for those who are not familiar with this system in Canada, we have a control system, alcohol monopoly in 10 out of the 13 provinces, which is what we want. We want the government to control the retailing of alcohol. In Nova Scotia, however, the government has instituted a revenue mandate to the NSLC. So that means that the NSLC is mandated to make as much money as possible from alcohol sales. So that muddies the water a little bit. We do want the government to control the sale and the distribution of alcohol, but when there's a revenue mandate, it gets a little fuzzy. When I do show this picture to people who have lived in Nova Scotia for most of their lives, most people hadn't recognized it before, even though, again, it is one of the bigger stores in the province. They didn't recognize the contrast of the Toys R Us and the liquor store, one right above the other. And people think that it's wrong. They can't really put their finger on it, but something seems not right. And so that starts the conversation. We tend to discuss what could potentially be wrong and see what we could do about it. So here's the problem. In Nova Scotia, as Don mentioned, kids are starting to drink earlier and earlier. And so in Nova Scotia, boys start to drink at almost 13 years and girls at just over 13 years. And the picture that you see is, I don't know how clearly you can see it, but it's crayons in Coors Light cups. And this is again a real picture from one of those family restaurants where you have the coloring crayons for the kids. And so, as Dawn mentioned also, we know that when kids start drinking earlier, when they're introduced to the idea of alcohol earlier, we know that this increases the risk of brain damage, poor academic performance, and social problems when children start drinking earlier on in life. It also increases chances of developing alcohol-related problems later in life, over-drinking, alcohol dependence, as examples. And then from a study in Nova Scotia, we saw that children who started drinking earlier were more likely to do poorly in school, get injured, have unplanned and unprotected sex, get into a car with a drinking driver, getting into fights, and other such related risks. So here's another example of how the alcohol industry and the alcohol messages have infiltrated, I guess, the Nova Scotia community. And just to say that this is Nova Scotia, but it's not different from other provinces in Canada and not different from other states across the U.S. When kids see these alcohol messages and the alcohol insignias, they consider alcohol as a normal product and that everybody drinks. It's a normal part of everyday life. And this is not necessarily okay. When kids are introduced to alcohol at this early age, when they can't really decipher right from wrong, they see alcohol in a way that's normalized and potentially problematic for them later on. the more we also know that from the research, the more alcohol ads that children see, the more likely they are to start drinking at an earlier age. And if they've already started drinking and see and are exposed to an increased number of ads, they are more likely to have problems later on in life with drinking. So this is another picture from Nova Scotia, from a Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation retail outlet, a typical fridge full of alcohol. In the same way that tobacco had their power walls, this is similar, a power wall of alcohol. And you can see it's very colorful, very, very neatly organized, a lot of very sweet beverages, and a lot of what young people would typically say they like to drink. And we asked young people in Nova Scotia, what typically do they like to drink? And we had focus groups of children between the ages of 13 and 18. And we asked them what they like to drink. And the girls, the young girls, said that they like the sweet drinks that are easy to transport. They can just slip into their purse so that it's hidden from parents or adults. And if you'll notice, a lot of these beverages are those ready-to-drink packages. You can see on the, or maybe you can't see, but there are a lot of those ready-to-drink soft packages that young girls can easily slip into their purse. So again, back to the problem. The age of initiation in Canada is decreasing. People are starting to drink younger and younger. And I like showing this slide because a lot of people think of their own drinking behaviors when they were young. A lot of adults say, oh, we drank a lot when we were young, but we grew out of it. What we're seeing is that as people get younger, they're starting to drink earlier and earlier. So we don't know if these generations will grow out of it in the same ways. Another example, this is the student drug use survey across the Atlantic provinces, and we see that students in grade 12, up to 80% have already tried alcohol. And even though the drinking age in Canada is 19 and 18 in some provinces, that is still an illegal age to be drinking. Again, another example in Nova Scotia, this is the New Glasgow Jubilee. It's a two-day music festival. It's family-friendly, a lot of people attend this, and there is a beer tent, and you'll see that huge Alexander Keith's can of beer that is in full sight for the families, for the children, and again, reinforcing the association between celebration, having a good time, family events, and alcohol. The alcohol is being normalized in society for children and introducing it at ages that are not necessarily appropriate. So for the alcohol industry, what's at stake? Why is there so much advertising around? And a lot of this advertising wouldn't be out there if it wasn't effective. So a study out of the US showed that the income from underage drinking topped $22.5 billion. So that's a lot of money to be lost if the alcohol industry does not target youth. The same study looked at income from people who are dependents, again, even more from people who are dependents. So again, two high-risk groups that the alcohol industry does focus on. In total, a conservative estimate is about $48.3 billion that's made from sales to children who are underage and people who are dependent on alcohol. A more realistic estimate says that over half of all the alcohol sold in the US is to people who are underage and people who are dependent on alcohol. So the industry does have a lot at stake. Here is the website, the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation website. Again, it's a government-controlled corporation with a revenue mandate. So this is an advertisement for Skinny Girl Margarita. Bethany Frankel is the spokesperson over there. In real life, I had to look her up. I didn't know who she was. But in real life, she is, I think, about 30 years old. But in this image, to me, she looks pretty young and looks like a person who a young girl would aspire to. She's cute. She's holding her margarita. She's talking about the potential health benefits of alcohol. So set aside the potential health benefits, just looking at the way the alcohol industry is focusing on the young person, wanting them to drink. And this is an image from the Liquor Corporation store with the same model talking about the low-calorie beverage. So if you're a parent going into the alcohol outlet, a lot of times you're with your young children, you're with your young daughter or son, and walking into the store and you see this beautiful young woman talking about the low-calorie beverage. She's beautiful, she's skinny. It's potentially targeting our young people. Another product called Girl. This is again from the Nova Scotia Liquor Corporation. I'm sure it's sold in lots of places, targeting our youth. So I mentioned before that we talk to the youth and ask them about their drinking habits. We also ask them where they get information about alcohol and about the use of alcohol. And they told us, the young ones, especially the ones who are 13 to 15, told us that they and their peers learn about alcohol through commercials, through TV commercials, through alcohol ads. And they reported that in the advertising, they see people who they want to look like and be like. So in these alcohol ads, they're looking to aspirational characters. They want to be like these women. So why would that be problematic? A little more about the normalization of alcohol use. After seeing all those messages, the kids want to be like the people who they see. They are also getting a lot of their health messages from the alcohol industry. Here are two examples where the alcohol industry is dominating or has been dominating the conversation. The Colorful Messages campaign in Nova Scotia was the alcohol industry going into the school system for 10 years and asking children in grades 4 to 8 to draw responsible alcohol use messages on paper bags. So that's a picture of a paper bag, and a young child has drawn about not drinking and driving. And on the surface, this looks okay, and potentially a good move for the alcohol industry looking after our children. But what they're doing is they're approaching children before they can use their reasoning skills to understand that sometimes a little bit of alcohol is okay, but at that age, children understand alcohol as being good or bad. They don't understand the gray areas. So after 10 years of the program being in place, a group from Nova Scotia, including myself, were able to work with the school system, with the Department of Education and the Department of Health to stop that program. Another example is from Prince Edward Island, another maritime province, where the alcohol industry created these booklets to learn how to talk to your children about alcohol. And at certain ages, of course, we do want parents talking to their kids about alcohol, but we don't want the alcohol industry ruling that conversation. We know that there are ulterior motives in these conversations, and we want the people with evidence and who know how to talk to children about life skills and resiliency, not the alcohol industry who wants to sell alcohol to children as young as possible. Some other images from Nova Scotia. Last winter, the Canada Games was in Nova Scotia, and a skating oval was created in the center of the city. And after the Canada Games, residents wanted to keep this skating oval. There was no money for it, and so Molson ponied up and said that they would sponsor this skating oval. And Halifax is not a big city, and this skating oval was right at the center of it, and it threatened to put huge alcohol advertising right in the center with families skating and coming together. Some people thought it was not a good idea. Advocates got together and wrote letters. They were faced with a lot of pushback from the industry, including the VP of Molson Coors, who said that there's nothing better than a cold beer after a skate. So I think it goes very well together. So those kinds of messages were prevalent. As of right now, we don't know if Molson will be sponsoring the Oval. It's still in talks, but there are a lot of advocates who are fighting against that. A lot of the normalization is already in place. With talking about the Oval, the association between skating or sports and alcohol. This is Canadian A lot of people in Canada potentially really like hockey. I don't, but that's fine. A lot of people do. Alcohol and hockey are synonymous. The messages are everywhere. This is another technique by the alcohol industry. This is Rockstar Energy Drink, both the non-alcoholic version and the alcoholic version. So the alcohol industry is again preparing youth to drink alcohol. The one on the left that doesn't have the 6.9% is the non-alcoholic version. And a lot of kids will drink the alcoholic version, just cover the 6.9% and drink it in front of their parents, and the parents won't know any different because they know that there is a non-alcoholic version. This is a picture from Nova Scotia, from a corner store in rural Nova Scotia. In the same way that you can buy chocolate bars, you can buy beer. More family celebrations, reinforcing the fact that alcohol is a part of everyday life. This, again, is a real picture taken on the side of the road in rural Nova Scotia. I have all day sober to Sunday up. And this is condoning the use of alcohol to anyone and everyone who sees that. It's condoning it on two levels. First, it's saying that it's okay to binge drink, drink as much as you want because you can recover the next day. And it's also telling young people that drinking is common. It's on a billboard. Everybody does it. So in Nova Scotia, we're not much different from the rest of Canada and a lot of the US, where alcohol use is normal, it's promoted, and it's widely used. Big alcohol or the alcohol industry reigns supreme with little to no controls. Just like in the US, in Canada, there are voluntary guidelines to alcohol advertising. Alcohol is cheap, although not as cheap as in the US. It's available and has few social consequences. People laugh at others who get drunk. There are no consequences to that. When you go to a party or you're in any social situation and somebody offers you a drink and you say no, that is not normal. So what can we do, what have we done, and what should we do about all of this? While I was in Nova Scotia and worked in Nova Scotia, we gathered as many stakeholders and as many interested parties as possible to have these conversations and talk about what is wrong with that Toys R Us sign right next to the NSLC. Was that done on purpose? I don't know. But talking about it really brings to light a lot of these issues and gets people to start thinking about the issue and gets people to start considering that there are a lot of alcohol advertisements in our environment and there is something that we can do about it. We did work with the Colorful Messages campaign and had that stopped, so there is room for us to move. What more can we do? We can be part of that change. We can start questioning where the money comes from for all of these different festivals and talk about other opportunities for sponsorship, like for the Oval, for the skating Oval. We don't always have to accept the status quo, and it's also okay to say that we don't want to drink potentially or have just a little bit and not to binge drink on weekends and then say that it's okay to take the rest of the weekend to sober up. So on that note, I would like to say thank you and ask if you have any questions.